We got mixed up and got turned around. Sean's birthday. Is today your birthday? It's Monday. It's next Monday? You ain't going to be here Sunday? Do y'all want him to sing to us? Sean, come up here and sing to us, man. I ain't kidding. And why not? You sing in the choir? Tasha, come sing. All right, everybody say happy birthday to Brother Sean. Yeah, all right. And anyhow, you ought to be in church Monday or Sunday. I'm just saying. This church. Because I'm going to preach on. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what I'm preaching yet. All right, let's read a little bit. All right, the Bible says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And man, that's a good verse. This verse right here, the masters there means teacher. Be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. What he's saying there is this. As a teacher, you take on the responsibility of dividing the word rightly. And you better understand that responsibility before you stand up in front of people and tell them what thus saith the Lord. Now, there's a lot of people that desires to teach a Sunday school class and ain't got no business doing it. Is everybody all right? I'm not talking about anybody here. It's okay. Y'all got all worried. But I'm just saying, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. What I do, if I mess up, if I lead you wrong, I will be held accountable for that. There's a different responsibility of you sitting in that pew or sitting in that chair right there and standing behind this pulpit. That's what he's trying to get across. We're going to go on. We'll come back to that here probably some point. But verse number two, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That doesn't mean he's perfect without sin. That means he's a mature in Christ. And able also to bridle the whole body. The Bible says that if you and I are able to go without offending somebody in word, that we are able to bridle or to control, the Bible says here, the whole body. Yeah, we get back to that too. All right, verse number three. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so different, or so great rather, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Now that ain't, that, you know, how many of y'all has ever read that verse and thought that it meant that it brags about? How many of y'all ever thought that? None of y'all? Y'all, that's spiritual, all right? Okay. It says, it boasts great things. I mean, just naturally reading that, you would think that it means that it brags about big things. But here's the thing. It's able to. Because it's capable. It's got the power. Hey, listen. Your tongue can boast about doing great things because it can. Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. That little member out there can do a lot. So it boasteth about great things. Behold how great a matter. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. I'm going to say this, just to kind of help everybody along in understanding how important the tongue is. It spoke more about in the Bible than alcohol is. It's more deadly than alcohol is. And therefore it is addressed in your Bible more than alcohol is. Is everybody all right? We'll say this about the tongue too. Not only is it addressed more, but when you get in there, there was seven things that was an abomination to the Lord. One of them had to deal with the tongue. Is everybody all right? We're not having fun. But anyhow, we're going to learn something tonight, all right? Okay, and so the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. I'm going to go ahead and say bye to everybody watching Facebook Live. I know y'all ain't hanging around for that. All right, now, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. That's some pretty strong words. Verse number 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. As we look at this little member, I want you to know that, as we've already said, there's a lot of power in the tongue. I wrote down that the tongue is either a curse or a cure. This has bothered me for the last couple of weeks. I preach, and if y'all don't know, somebody asked me, what you preach on Sunday? I have no idea. I tell you about 900 things that the Lord's laid on my heart, and when he gives me the direction, then that's the way we're going to go. But he's been dealing with me on this thought about my tongue. My tongue. Not your tongue. My tongue. All right? I ain't worried about your tongue. That's between you and the Lord, and I'm going to try to give you some information that helped me. And I don't know that it helped me yet. It's confronted me. And now I'm going to have to do some things to get aligned where I need to be with it. But it's something that I've been dealing with in my own life and something that I've done. I can be sweet. Not often, but I can. I can also be very sarcastic. And I can do so in such a manner, I can cut you to the bone and walk off and leave you bleeding while I'm smiling, thinking that I was having fun with you. I need somebody to say amen. Don't challenge me when it comes to sarcasm. I'm good. I'm quick. Is everybody with me right here? You hush. What I'm getting at is that I don't have control over my tongue. Say, well, I do. Not according to that Bible, you don't. Because according to that Bible, no man has tamed that tongue. There's not a person sitting in here that is in control of that tongue. There's not a person in here that has mastered that tongue. We're going to take a look at that tonight just for a little bit. I want to say this, words are damaging. How many of y'all remember the little nursery rhyme or whatever, the song that we sang out on the play yard that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's a lie. Some of you are hurt by words that were said to you years ago. And if they'd have just broken your leg, it would have healed up in 6 weeks. But you've carried it around for 6 years, 12 years, 20 years, 30 years maybe. Why? Because words cut us to the bone. They don't heal. Somebody help me right here. They don't heal near as quickly as the flesh does. Nor do they heal near as quickly as a bone does. For you see, the tongue and the words that come out of our mouth has the power to destroy marriages. Have you ever thought about that? Most marriages are destroyed by what comes out of somebody's mouth. whether it be in an argument or whatever the case may be. Words can destroy marriages. Words can destroy friendships. Words can destroy families. I know of examples of folks that have, a contention, we'll call it, in their family and have not spoke to their family in years because of an argument or a disagreement that happened in it. Words can destroy a family. Words can destroy a marriage. Words can destroy a friendship. Words can destroy a church. Help me, y'all. Words can destroy a church. You get a bunch of people in the church running their mouth about one another, you'll split the church wide open. Words can destroy a church. Words can destroy your job. Don't nobody raise their hand right there, but there's plenty of examples of words that have cost somebody their job. Hey, Lord help, if there was anybody that should have been fired for words, it was me. And I was rough on my employers, but at the same time, I was good to my employers. But the point that I'm making is that words have the power. They have the ability to destroy that. They have the ability to destroy your reputation. You can say something about somebody else and you can damage their reputation. And it not be true. They can say something and it will damage their reputation. You'll never forget it. I need somebody to say amen. There's politicians out there that you have, there's something that they said that you ain't never forgotten. Every time somebody mentions their name, you bring up what they said. Why? Because their own words damage their reputation. Words of others would damage your reputation. Maybe there's somebody in here, somebody lied about something that you did. Somebody accused you of something that you did not do, and yet that has carried with you. That has been on your shoulders. That has been something that the community or maybe others look at you and they say, oh, that's the guy that did this. That's the young lady that did this, or that's the young man that did this. Words can start wars. You realize that all it takes is a command, and this world could be over with. World War III, a nuclear holocaust, it could be all over just by the word of somebody. Or it can bring peace. I've been thinking about how my words affect others. I've been thinking about how you can say something, even in jest. The Bible says that even in jest that it's wrong. And you can say something that can hurt somebody. But at the same time, you can say something that can encourage somebody. There's been people in this church that have said things to me that I have not forgotten. They hurt me. And I won't forget. I'm trying, but I won't forget. It's just one of them things the devil likes to keep bringing up. But then there's so many that have said, and let me say this too, before I go on and everybody's starting to wonder if I'm mad at everybody, the same persons that have cut me and hurt me have also loved on me. All right? The fact of the matter is it wasn't done in malice. It wasn't done in an attempt to destroy me. It's just the power of words. They weren't meant to hurt. They weren't meant to harm. They weren't said in a way that would discourage somebody. But words have power. And they can hurt you. How many of you mamas have had somebody say something about your little youngin' running around in the church house that has hurt your feelings? And you've gone home. They talk about my youngin', I'll be busting somebody's head wide open. Huh? I remember one time I said something about to the effect in the old church. I said something to the effect on one Sunday morning. We were packed in there. It was 250 plus people sitting in that little old building. A baby went to crying. Somebody help me right here. You knew it in Valdosta. Anyhow, I said something about us having a nursery. And anyhow, a lady got on Facebook, just said, "Hey, we have a nursery." I didn't say, "Get your kid, get out of here. We got a nursery, get the kid, get out of this, that, and the other." Got on Facebook, and I was the demon of Lowndes County, the preacher that wouldn't tolerate a baby. I was just trying to help the young lady out. And didn't mean to hurt her, but it did. And then there's those words that come right when you need them. Let me tell you, Brother Scott, me and I mentioned that there's been some friends that in preaching that have, they tell me what I'm supposed to do, but they ain't never reached out to me when I was hurt. And I made mention of that here recently. And man, I'm going to tell you what, God's blessed, and I appreciate it, but I had a message from the guy that I was talking about that reached out to me right before I come into church tonight. I mean, of all times, I ain't talked to him in months, and all of a sudden he reaches out to me tonight, of all nights. And what I'm saying is that a timely word can help somebody. I shared with him through Messenger. I was sharing with him right before, I'm talking about literally before I walked in here. I was sharing with him and I was telling him, I said, "I want to thank you." I said, "Because when I was in a ditch and when I was half dead spiritually, I said, you reached out to me. You were my good Samaritan. You were who God sent by to help my wounds, to clean me up, and to get me back on the right path. That was you. That God used you to do that." And so we both encouraged one another. It all happened right before the service tonight. What are you saying? I'm saying there's power in our words, and how do we use them? Do you realize that you can either speak death, you can speak condemnation on somebody, or you can speak life into them? You can encourage them, or you can break their spirit. You can do the same thing with a child. You can either encourage your child or you can just absolutely destroy them with your words. Well, look at this real quickly tonight. I'm going to try to get through it real fast. Well, we'll go, all right? I want you to notice the root of the tongue. Number one, the root of the tongue. See, the tongue doesn't just work by its own self. It is a production of the heart. What's in here? Jesus said, what was in here will come out here. So the root of the tongue reaches down into our heart. It's a revealing of our heart. A revelation of our heart, if you will. It's a revelation of our habits. It's a revelation of our habits. Somebody said, "I didn't mean to say that." Yes, you did. Why? Because the root is there. Somebody say amen now. Don't get quiet on me right here. This is when everybody's, and listen, everybody's getting punched in the gut right here, so you might as well say amen, all right, and act like you ain't got it, all right? Now, the revelation of the heart, it's a revelation of our habits, and listen to this, it's a revelation of our habitat. It's a revealer of our heart. It's a revealer of our habits, but it's a revealer of those things that are around us. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that your words come from your heart, through your habits, and by those that are around you. You get around negative people, you'll be a negative person. You get around people that are always talking about somebody else and are gossiping, you'll be a gossip. It's your habitat. But not only that, your habits. If you don't have a good habit of reading your Bible, if you don't have a good habit of putting good things in there, then bad things are, and all you're putting in there are bad things, and all that's going to come out is bad things. The fact of the matter is I'm going to change this. I got to change this. And if I'm going to change this, it's going to require me getting more intimate with this. I've got to put something good in for something good to come out. And if I'm struggling with something bad coming out, it's because I'm not putting enough good in. I need to reevaluate who I'm hanging around with. I need to reevaluate who I or what I'm doing. Somebody say amen. We get in there, you can have a spirit, a meek spirit. You won't have it listening to AC/DC. Is everybody all right? Y'all better hang with me now. Don't get off on me. Hey, listen, do you know that the music that you and I listen to is things that are going in and it affects the things that are coming out? Hey, you! If I'm mad, guess what? Y'all just don't. Y'all ain't gotta like me. I don't care. You get me mad, and we're gonna be listening. I'm gonna listen to some classic rock. Is everybody all right? Why? Because it don't. I ain't wanting to get right. I'm wanting to go punch somebody in the face, and it helps me to. Is everybody all right? Now listen, if you want to listen to your music, you do whatever you want to. I'm just saying I've got a problem and I need to fix my mouth. I'm going to have to guard what I put in. I'm going to have to put things that are pure in if I'm going to have things that are good come out. And the fact of the matter is the root of our tongue reaches all the way down to our heart. A critical heart produces a critical tongue. A bitter heart produces a harsh tongue. A self-righteous heart produces a judgmental tongue. An ungrateful heart produces a complaining tongue. What gets in here comes out here. If I'm always bitter here, then go ahead and mark it down. I'm bitter here. If I'm always judgmental here, then mark it down. I'm very self-righteous here. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying right now? See, you can determine. Right now, you can identify what kind of heart you got by what comes out of your mouth. If you're constantly gossiping about others, mark it down, you got a self-righteous heart. And see, you have to be self-righteous to be able to talk about somebody else. You can't talk about somebody else if you're in the same boat that they are. So you've got to see yourself as not being in that boat to sit there and make a judgment about them in their boat. So if you have a problem judging people, check your heart. If you have a problem being harsh with people and bitter with your words, you're critical of everything that's going on, check your heart tonight. Because the tongue has a root that reaches down into the heart. And the root is what determines the fruit. Is everybody with me? This is what James is talking about when he tells us that can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? If it's a fig tree root, it's not going to have an olive coming out the mouth. The root of the tongue. Number two, the reality of the tongue. The reality of the tongue we find in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 12, I believe, 21. I didn't write it down. But the power of the tongue. It said life and death is in the power of the tongue. As I've already said, you can speak life into somebody or you can absolutely destroy them. The power of the tongue is such that we can come in here on a Sunday morning and we can shout and we can run laps and we can have fun. We can raise our hands and praise the Lord and walk right out and cut the waitress to the bone because she didn't bring your water in time. Man, I want to be somebody that encourages people. I really do. I don't want to be that person that when I walk into a restaurant, they go, it's them again. I want to be that person that walks into the restaurant, and I am because I tip good, that all of them want to be our server. The reality of the tongue, there's power in the tongue. The reality of the tongue, we see the picture, not only the power of the tongue, but we see the picture of the tongue here. James lets us know that it's like the bridle put on a horse, a bit that's put in its mouth. It's a little old thing, but yet it'll turn a 1,000-pound animal wherever it wants to go. He said it's like the helm of a boat or the rudder. Though the ship is great, and though the winds and the storm may push it and drive it, there's this little old rudder underneath it that can steer it wherever it wants to go. It ain't the length of the boat. Somebody help me now. Then he talks about the fire. He says that we see a picture of the tongue. We see it in the bridle. We see it in the rudder. We see it in the fire. He said a little old matter, a little old spark, a little old fire can start a great wildfire. It can either be controlled and it can warm somebody. It can be a refreshment to somebody. It can feed somebody. Or it can rage out of control and it can kill people. It can destroy everything around it. We see the power of the tongue, the picture of the tongue, the perfecting of the tongue. As I mentioned, it cannot be tamed by me or you. So, well, how do we get control of it? By giving it to Him. See, we can't tame it, but the Holy Spirit can. I have no power and control over it, but I can submit it to Him and He can. Is everybody with me right here? And let me go ahead and tell everybody something before we get this idea. I just want to get real with you, all right? It ain't going to happen overnight. It's something that we're going to have to work on. Because we're not used to complimenting others. We're used to complimenting ourselves. We're used to talking more about us than we are about others. Me, I'm having a problem. I'm just telling y'all. This is something I want to get better at. The root of the tongue, the reality of the tongue. Number three, the responsibility of our tongue. I want you to notice two things about the responsibility of the tongue. That is the catalog of the tongue and the condemnation of the tongue. Jesus wrote to us in Matthew chapter number 12, verse 36 and 37, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Who said that? Ooh! I ain't done. That was just first verse. Next verse. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." That's our loving Savior. He said, every idle word that you and I speak. You know what that means? That means that word that you don't speak to that person, but you speak it, you're going to give an account for it. That means those things that you say because nobody else is around. Am I the only one that talks to themselves? Okay, I'm just making sure. That means that conversation that I have with me, I will be held accountable for. Those things that I say to God when I'm angry, I will have to give an account for. And I won't justify them by, "I was just angry, Lord. I didn't mean it." Every idle word, every idle word that I speak, I'm going to give an account for. I don't know about you, but that scares me to death. Because while my words in that pulpit, I do my best to make sure that they're life-giving. My words outside of that pulpit don't always match it. Every idle word. I got to get better, y'all. We got to get better, y'all. We got to get better, y'all. We're ready to fight on the drop of a hat. And we'll knock the hat off their head to start it. Right? I mean, hey, somebody says something on Facebook or social media you don't agree with? Do some finger stretching. We're fixing to talk. Can I say that every word is everything you type too? Well, I didn't say it. I just typed it. No. What comes out here? Who cares who got the best football team? Who cares who the best choice of politician is? It ain't worth, come on, y'all, help me now. It ain't worth me getting and losing my reputation over it. Because I allow, I need somebody to help me now. Let me move on, all right? The responsibility of our tongue, the regulation of our tongue. I'm done. Well, not done, but anyhow, you know what I'm talking about. That's the last point. How do I control it? Preacher, what are some things that I can do? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible says that we're to be slow to speak and swift to hear. I've mentioned this several times over the last few weeks. Y'all have heard me mention stuff about this. We got two ears that are open and a mouth that is... Everybody all right? We got two ears that are wide open so that we can listen. And God put that tongue of ours behind a set of teeth and a set of lips. He caged it up. He put it in a cage and then double locked it. The problem is that too many of us have the key. The fact of the matter is that we could control our tongue if we learn how to keep our mouth shut. Reminds me of a man fishing. Been fishing all day, frustrated. He hadn't caught anything. He's sitting on the dock. And two PETA members come by. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And he catches a fish. And the lady looks at him and she says, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. He didn't do anything to you." And he turned around to her and he said, "Ma'am, if he'd have kept his mouth shut, he never got caught." Hey, somebody say amen. Sometimes the best thing you and I can do, this is where I need help. Keep your mouth shut. Learn how to walk away. Learn, and I ain't talking about walking away mumbling, because I know how some of you are. Keep your mouth shut. Be slow to speak and swift to hear. That means before you answer a matter, hear the matter. That means before you say something, evaluate. Is this going to edify God? Is this going to encourage the one that I'm talking to? Is this going to educate them, or is this going to destroy them? If it's going to educate them, then how can I do it in such a way that they'd receive it? Because offending a brother ain't going to help one bit in bringing them to your side of the argument. I'm having fun. Slow to speak, swift to hear. Listen twice as much as we speak. How about this? Next, season it with grace. Our words should be seasoned with grace. I wrote down that they need to be prepared. And used to sweeten life instead of sour it. Season with grace. I got to thinking about seasoning chicken. I'm going to be cooking chicken for my mother and my stepdad's 40th anniversary. We're celebrating it this weekend, and I'm cooking for the family. So I called Jesse up. I'm like, hey, man, I got to cook chicken for about 80 people. They're all coming. I said, I need the Cowart recipe. Of course, he don't have the Cowart recipe, so he had to go to mama. She's going to get it. I don't know who. But anyhow, Jesse told me, he said, preacher, you got to season them with some Lowry's first. He said, put it on both sides. He said, put that thing on. Well, I don't need to be telling everybody to do it. No, I'm sorry. Anyhow, he giving me that. He telling me how to do it. What I'm getting at is I have to prepare it before I begin cooking it. I have to season it before it ever goes over to coals. All right, is everybody with me right there? We should do the same with our words. Let's prepare it before we put it out there. Let's make sure we got the right ingredients on it to make it taste good. Instead, man, this is good. I don't care who you are. Slow to speak, swift to hear, seasoned with grace. Number two there, or seasoned with grace for number two. Number three, sanctified to God. You know God gave us this mouth to honor and glorify Him? How much did you glorify Him today? Don't, there you go. You in the same boat I am. I appreciate you being with me. Seriously. I ain't done a good job of it. Have you? I'm just saying. I've talked about a lot of things today, but there's very few times that I've glorified God, edified God, edified a believer. I was thinking about that. It was eating my lunch today. I started sending out texts to people. I just want you to know I love you. I want you to know I'm praying for you. Why? Because this mouth ain't glorified God. That's sanctified to God. That means it ought to be set apart. I ought to do some things with my mouth that are good. I ought to do some things with my mouth. I ought to get up in the morning and, I don't know about y'all, but I had this thought, what am I doing today to encourage somebody? What am I doing today that's helping somebody? There's power in words, and there may be somebody out there that they're at the end of their rope, and a kind word from you could be the difference maker in their entire life. I've got to, it's something that I got to get control on. It's something that I got to work toward. It's something that I got to, I want to be the best that I can be with my words and help people, not just in this pulpit, but outside the walls of this building. How am I helping others? Just because I'm right doesn't mean that I have to say it. Just because you're right about it doesn't mean that it has to come out your mouth. You can be right about the argument and lose the battle. You don't believe it? Get married. I need somebody to help me right here. You can be right about it and still lose the battle. All right, there's way too much talking going on. Make sure your words are seasoned with grace. Sanctified to God. Slow to speak. Lastly here, saturated with God's word. As I've already said, I've already preached this point, but what you put in is going to come out. And if you're struggling for the right words to come out, then you need to put the right word in. If you're not willing to put the right word in, don't expect the right words to come out. I don't know why I put this verse, but if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. I believe that has a direct reflection on our tongue. Because living peaceably with somebody starts. That was Romans 12, verse number 18, by the way. So tonight, where's your tongue? Don't say it's in my mouth, preacher. Oh, I had a good proverb. Listen to this one. I like this. I wrote this down. Thou art an old proverb. This ain't in Proverbs. This is an old proverb. Thou art master of the unspoken word, but the spoken word is master of you. Thou art master of the unspoken word, but the spoken word is master of you. You ain't got to say it. You ain't got to say it. That don't mean you got to walk around being quiet all the time either. But we do need to be slow to speak, swift to hear, season our words with grace according to the Bible. Submit to the Lord and sanctify our mouth, sanctify our words to the Lord to edify, to build people up, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to glorify and honor God, and saturated with the Word of God. I don't mean that every time you open up your mouth, you say a verse. But it does mean that you're able to give an answer because of the grace that was extended to you. She's going to come to that piano, and everybody's coming to the altar tonight. Say, it wasn't for me, preacher. The Bible says it was. Bible says it was. This place, thankful for the people, Lord, that you've placed here at Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, I'm thankful for folks that I can be transparent with, folks that are going through the same things I do, fight the same battles. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, each one of us, to conduct ourselves and to speak life to others. Lord, may we strengthen others instead of hurting them. God, may we encourage people. May we realize that there's power in our words. It has the power to ruin our testimony. It has the power to ruin the testimony of those around us. It has the power to destroy lives, destroy marriages, destroy families, destroy relationships, friendships. Lord, I pray that you bless tonight's service, the reading and the preaching of your word. Lord, may we apply it to our hearts. And Lord, begin to work on that unruly member, that unruly evil,
that deadly poison. God, may we have sweet water that flows from our mouth and not bitter. Lord, we'll be sure to give you, Lord, all the honor, the glory, all the praise for it. Help us to draw closer to you, to know more about you, so that we, Lord, can give to others the blessing of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.